Treasury Star Parade. Under the personal direction of William A. Baker, with Otto Kruger, Ralph Morgan, Al Goodman and his orchestra, and Henry Hall as our master of ceremonies, in scenes from John Steinbeck's powerful and moving play, The Moon is Down.
With the kind permission of John Steinbeck, the author, and Oscar Serlin, the producer of Mr. Steinbeck's play, adapted from his best-selling novel, The Moon is Down, we have selected several scenes which will be played for you by Otto Kruger and Ralph Morgan, who play these same parts in the Broadway production. They are unforgettable scenes once you have seen or heard them. There's a quality about them which is the quality of the world we move in. I think that the best way to begin is just as the book opens. Quote, by 10:45, it was all over. The town was occupied, the defenders defeated, and the war finished. Now, here are the facts. It was Sunday morning. The postman and the one policeman were out fishing. The local troops, all 12 of them, were in the hills having target practice. The mayor was at home reading the morning paper. All was quiet. Then two small transports made a sudden appearance in the bay, disembarked their troops, and started their occupation. The 12 home guards saw them, came running down from the hills, ran straight into the fire of the machine guns. 6 of them were killed, 3 wounded, and 3 taken prisoner. All very orderly, all very efficient. By 10:38, the riddled 6 were buried, and the brass band of the invader was playing beautiful and sentimental music in the town square. By 10:45, old Mayor Auden had received the formal request that he grant an audience to Colonel Lancer of the invaders. At 10:55, a helmeted officer with a submachine gun arrived to search the house and remove all firearms. Observe, still very efficient, still very orderly. For these are a time-minded people. At 11 sharp, Colonel Lancer arrived.
Now, I must get down to business. I'm very tired, and before I can sleep, I must make my arrangements. The coal from your mine must come out of the ground and be shipped. We have the technicians with us. The local people will continue to work the mine. Is that clear? We do not wish to be harsh.
Yes, that's clear enough. But suppose we don't want to work the mine.
Mm-hmm. I hope you will want to, because you must.
But if we won't?
You must! This is an orderly people. They don't want trouble. Isn't that so, sir?
I don't know. They're orderly under our government. I don't know what they'll be under yours. We've built our government over a long time.
We know that. We're going to keep your government. You will still be the mayor. You will give the orders. You will penalize and reward. And then we won't have trouble.
I don't know. I'm confused. Of course, it might be different from anything you know, Colonel. Some accept leaders and obey them. But my people elected me. They made me, and they can unmake me. Perhaps they'll do that when they think I've gone over to you.
You'll be doing them a service by keeping them in order. They will be in danger if they're rebellious. And if they work, they'll be safe.
But suppose they don't want to be safe.
Then you must think for them.
They don't like to have others think for them. Maybe they are different from your people.
Different? Are people different? Let's see what happens when free people are conquered. In a few days, some of the light of astonishment had gone from the people's eyes. They moved sullenly through the streets. In the coal shaft, the working men pushed the coal cars sullenly. And then one day, one of the officers of the invaders was killed by one of the miners. Colonel Lancer promptly asked Mayor Auden to convict the man of murder.
One of our men has killed one of yours. You ask me to pass sentence of death on him? You and your government do not understand. In all the world, yours is the only government and people with a record of defeat after defeat for centuries. And always because you did not understand. This principle does not work. First, I am the mayor. I have no right to pass sentence of death under our law. There's no one in this community with that right. If I should do it, I'd be breaking the law as much as you.
Breaking the law?
You killed 6 men when you came in. And you hurt others.
Yes.
Under our law, you were guilty of murder, all of you. Why go into this nonsense of law, Colonel? There is no law between you and us. This is war. You destroyed the law when you came in. And a new, cruel law took its place. You know you will have to kill all of us, or we in time will kill all of you. Don't you know that?
What you and I think is of no importance. As a private man, as a man of certain memories, I might agree with you. I might even add that one of the tendencies of the military mind is an inability to see beyond the killing, which is its job. I am not a private man. The coal miner must be shot publicly because the theory is that others will then restrain themselves from killing our men.
I'll tell you what I'll do. How many men were on the machine guns that killed our soldiers?
About 20.
Very well. If you will shoot them, I will usurp the power to condemn the man who killed your soldier.
You're not serious.
I am serious.
Well, this can't be done, and you know it. This is nonsense.
I know it. And what you ask can't be done. It is nonsense, too.
We've taken on a job, haven't we?
Yes. The one impossible job in the world. The one thing that can't be done.
Yes?
To break man's spirit. Permanently.
And Lancer, the man of certain memories, knew in his heart that this was true. He felt the inevitability of it. But he had his orders from the capital. And what of the other conquerors, the officers, the men? As the days dragged on, they too found that there was death in the air. Accidents happened. Men disappeared. Wherever they went, where there was laughter, the laughter stopped. They grew to realize that they, the conquerors, were surrounded by the anger of the conquered people.
That's it. The enemy. Everywhere. Every man and woman, even children, waiting. The white faces behind the curtains listening. But we've beaten them. We've won everywhere. And they wait and obey. And they wait. Oh, half the world is ours. Is it the same in other places? You say it'll take time. But maybe it'll never be over. Maybe it can't be over. Maybe we've made some horrible mistake.
Thunder. Stop it.
Captain, is this place conquered?
Of course.
Conquered, and we are afraid. Conquered, and we are surrounded. I had a dream. Out in the snow with the black shadows and the cold faces in doorways. I had a thought or a dream.
Stop it.
I dreamed the leader was crazy.
The leader crazy. Crazy. I have found out how crazy.
It's conquest after conquest. Deeper and deeper into molasses. Maybe the leader's crazy. Flies conquer the flypaper. Flies capture 200 miles of new flypaper.
Lieutenant, stop it. Stop it.
I want to go home.
White faces behind the curtains, waiting, listening. Listening for what? Waiting for what? Mayor Auden had sent two men to England for help, for weapons, secret weapons to use against the invaders. Had they got through? Would England send them? The hushed tramp of the invaders' boots still sounded in the streets. Then, in the silence, the squeak of the boots in the packed snow faded away, and all was still again. In the dark, clear night, a white, half-withered moon brought little light. The wind was dry and singing over the snow. It was a clear night for bombing. The guards at the mine first heard the high drone. The people heard and squirmed deeper into their feather beds and listened. In the palace of the mayor, Colonel Lanzer held his breath to listen better. High in the air, the two bombers circled, and from the belly of each one, tiny little objects dropped, hundreds of them, one after another. They plummeted a few feet, and then little parachutes opened and drifted small packages slowly down to earth, spreading and floating like thistle down. They drifted so slowly and landed so gently, sometimes the 10-inch packages of dynamite stood upright in the snow. The people, in the late dawn, creeping out of their houses, moved quickly toward the spots of blue against the snow.
Mayor Auden, Dr. Winter, I am arresting you both as hostages for the good behavior of your people. These are my orders.
You don't understand. When I become a hindrance to the people, they will do without me.
The people know that you will be shot if they light another fuse. Will they light it?
They will light the fuse.
Suppose you ask them not to.
I'm not a very brave man, sir. I think they will light it anyway. I hope they will. But if I ask them not to, they will be sorry.
But they will light it.
Yes, they will light it. I have no choice of living or dying, you see, sir. But I do have a choice of how I do it. If I tell them not to fight, they will be sorry. But they will fight. If I tell them to fight, they will be glad. And I, who am not a very brave man, will have made them a little braver. It's an easy thing to do, since the end for me is the same.
Well, if you say yes, we'll tell them you said no. We'll tell them you begged for your life.
They would know, Colonel Lenser, you don't keep secrets. One of your men got out of hand one night, and he said the flies had conquered the flypaper. Now the whole nation knows his words. They made a song of it. You do not keep secrets.
I have taken my hostages. If there is violence, I will execute them. 11 o'clock is the deadline.
A time-minded people.
You know, Dr. Winter, I'm a little man in a little town. But there must be a spark in little men that can burst into flame. At first, I was afraid. I thought of all the things I might do to save my own life. And then that went away. And now I feel a kind of exaltation. As if I were bigger and better than I am.
I'm sorry. I shall have to carry out my orders.
Doctor, tell me, how did it go about the flies?
The flies have conquered the flypaper.
The flies have conquered the flypaper. It's 11 o'clock. These are a time-minded people, Doctor. They will be on time. We are ready, Colonel Lancer.
You cannot conquer the spirit of free men. Theirs is the courage, the fortitude, the indomitable will to survive as free men. No effort, no sacrifice is too great for them to make to retain that freedom. They will fight, they will work, they will die, but they will win. Today we are in the midst of a crucial war, a war that threatens our basic liberties. We must have money to help win that war. America is the wealthiest country in the world. The money is here. You can fill your quota. Buy war savings bonds and stamps. Invest at least 10% of your income, 10% of everything you earn. That means $1 out of every $10 you make. Remember, every dollar you invest in war bonds and stamps, you invest in the future of America. This is your country. Keep it yours. United States Treasury Department thanks the distinguished artists who donated their talents to this transcribed performance. Henry Hull, Otto Kruger, and Ralph Morgan. Mr. John Steinbeck and Mr. Oscar Serlin for their gracious permission to use scenes from the play The Moon Is Down. And this station for the use of its facilities. The orchestra was under the direction of Al Goodman, writing by Malcolm Meacham and Violet Atkins. This is Larry Elliott speaking.